Wait, Frank, thank you for mentioning the book. I meant to mention it as well. As Franklin said, there's a book on
Rad Dad.
Memorial Table.
The other one, I'm sorry.
Radke, in the station where people can write memories and stuff. And would you repeat the website, your website, one more time, please?
Thank you again for that. It's Frank, like my name, Frank Sterling, Sterling. Frank Sterling Solidarity. .wordpress.com.
Okay.
So, and then it's just like a basic text page. It'll have the same information that's on the Facebook, and then every time I update the Facebook, I'll also update that so people don't have Facebook can just go there and get. And during the court case, Carla West has agreed to help me update it by 8 o'clock every night if okay. there's a development or something. So.
Is that the solidarity?
.wordpress.com. It's a WordPress thing, so everything on there is whatever it is, .wordpress.com.
I'll post it on the open LSB list. As
thank
well.
You. Thank you very much.
Okay. I want the record to note that Sharam has arrived. And, Henry, you had an announcement?
If anybody's looking for a nice way to enjoy the good weather this afternoon at 4 o'clock, there's a fundraising event at the Occupy the Farm in the Gill Tract in Albany, 4 to 6 p.m. today.
Okay, thank
if
you.
If you haven't been there, it's lovely.
It's easy to get to, too. All right. Coming this way, Laura.
Just update on the KPFA Spring Fund Drive. We're now at 98,000. Our goal is 750,000, I think. And we do need phone room volunteers. So I know some of the people, like Aki, are coming in every day. It's really great to see board members that are answering phones. So if you can, please help us out whenever you can to come in. Margie's been there, too. I shouldn't name names. There's been some board
don't
members.
Don't name yeah. names. It's okay. Okay. Any other announcements? All right. So now we're ready for the IGM report. Andrew, you're on.
Good morning, everybody. We all know there's a lot at stake at Pacifica these days and at KPFA. And we seem to be on shaky ground, I think, in many ways. But the problems we have today, in my opinion, have much less to do with programming than with internal disputes and politics at the station and at the LSB and in our community, which are amplified by websites which continue to give out information which, in many people's opinion, is inaccurate, does not represent the whole story. Of course, there's no way, broken record here, in responding because we don't know who is writing the websites. It includes the shaky ground situation includes exorbitant legal expenses, the fixed costs at KPFA, where we have about $1.7 million in salaries, where the resources go at our station, the ongoing dysfunction is making it very difficult. But the changing media environment, of course, the demographic that actually still listens to radio is also changing, and we haven't been able to satisfactorily adapt and change. KPFA and Pacifica, however, does have a long history of struggle, going all the way back to the very start when Lou Hill began the organisation. And whether he took his own life because of it, I don't know, but he did. And if you read the history, you can see it's been rancorous from the beginning. Ku Klux Klan bombed KPFT in 1970.
Excuse me, Andrew, hold on a second. I would just ask the board members, please control yourselves. This is Andrew's report. He gets to talk about whatever he wants to talk about. So, and I would appreciate people not making comments during the report and giving Andrew complete respect and listening. Thank you. Go ahead, Andrew. That's right.
In 1970, I just want to indicate that the problems we face, however, at KPFA and Pacifica, though they're not the same, it's been an ongoing situation. In 1977, in WBAI in New York, new management regime drastically alters the program format in an ongoing attempt to raise audience numbers and broaden the audience. And the staff, which then was essentially unpaid, revolt and eventually barricade themselves in the studio. Others chained themselves to the transmitter at the Empire State Building, and eventually the lines to the transmitter are cut, and WBAI is off the air for many weeks. In 1979, I arrived at WBAI, and I think it had nothing to do with me, but it was a relatively quiet decade. But then in 1996, Democracy Now! Begins in February during the elections and stays on air from then on, and eventually, through a dispute, leaves WBAI because of the Christmas coup that happened in 2002 when the then manager, Utrecht Lead, changes the lock, sacks the staff, Democracy Now! Walks out and moves to the firehouse in downtown Manhattan. So there was another incident. So the problems and internal struggles we face today are part of an ongoing saga. Nevertheless, there are about 200 stations affiliated with Pacifica, and we cross now all media platforms. We live in a transmedia age. Pacifica Radio and its stations are content providers. But we haven't, at Pacifica, taken advantage of our content and pushed it out widely enough. It can be pushed out not just to thousands, but to millions of people over the internet, and we haven't been able to capitalize on that. We all know that we're a mission-driven organization and that the board of Pacifica's main function, as I understand it, is to oversee management, ensuring that the radio station, the licensee in Pacifica, who runs the organization, that these stations actually follow the articles of the foundation. I understand that to be the main function of the board, to ensure that these articles are followed. That the facilities, for instance, involved in our organisation shall be as self-sustaining as possible, and that in radio broadcasting operations we encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community. That's an important word, not for the community, but of the community, which means we bring the community in, we don't lock them out. That's in our Articles of Association, and it's your job to ensure that the station brings the community in, does not lock the community out. I want to talk a little bit about the proposed changes in the process of the morning. But I want to first say that what was surprising, that when we did some analysis of the MEMSI's numbers based on these reports on pledges by program, we found that comparing the 12 months before the morning change to the 12 months after the morning change, that the overall fund drive average pledge remained essentially flat. It decreased by about 2%. So there was not very much change at all. So that when we talk and lambast the morning and say if we brought the morning show back, things would be very different, I don't see how that's actually true, given the fact that, in fact, things remain quite flat at the moment. Nevertheless, it is true that our morning is definitely underperforming. Part of that is because of Al Jazeera, which essentially raises no money, maybe $400 or $500 a morning, which is nobody's fault. It's just the way it is. But therefore, we're actually comparing a morning in the past where we had 4 hours of fundraising to a morning currently in the last year or so where we have just 3 hours of fundraising because Al Jazeera isn't performing very well. We had a number of meetings with paid staff, and we had two general meetings and a lot of discussion. And there were never any guarantees. I don't think the idea was to quote-unquote change the morning by any means necessary, but we were looking for a change. And we had three main proposals. One was to bring, I think you're aware of this, but I'll very briefly share with you. One was to bring a program up from Los Angeles, the Uprising program, and run it on KPFA in the morning from 8 until 9 and have Sonali, who's the host of that program, also contribute in the 7 to 8 o'clock hour. So in a sense, we'd be doing perhaps what could have been the beginning of a West Coast morning program. However, there was a requirement from Sonali that she have editorial control. I think you'd agree that we at KPFA should have editorial control of our own programming. And there's also a sense that we need more local information out of Berkeley than information out of Los Angeles. So I didn't feel that was a very good proposal. The second one was, a second one was that to move Mitch, and Mitch had agreed to this, that Mitch could move to 8 o'clock in the morning. And that the news department, because at the beginning of this process, the proposal was that moving some resources from the news department to the morning would mean that we didn't have to spend money in the morning that we didn't have, but would enable us to use some of our resources in the morning from the news department. So that Mitch, who's very closely has worked with the news department in the past, obviously, and is a fine producer in his own right, would be at 8 o'clock and the news department would be at 7. And I think that probably would have worked. But there was a feeling that this would be an all-male cast as it was set up, and Mitch felt pretty uncomfortable about that. And also the fact that if Mitch moved to 8 o'clock, there was no guarantee that, in fact, we were going to make more money again. Mitch makes money at 10 o'clock. Many people are used to listening to him at 10 o'clock, and his program is broadcast in Los Angeles at 10 o'clock, so that would put a glitch in that. So that didn't seem to be a very good proposal either, because the feeling was, my feeling was, that I don't believe it would make very much more money. The third proposal was that we leave the morning mix in position, because it was a loud outcry from many people in support of the morning mix, and that we either have a slot from 7 till 8 where the news would move resources, or from 6 till 7 where the news would move resources, and the Democracy Now would either move to 6 or stay at 7. Now, the thing is that given the... Let's talk frankly here. Given the politics of KPFA, the unsaid politics, the cliche, the elephant in the room, and given the fact that management has been constantly under attack, I would suggest unfairly, by people closely affiliated with our news department, why would we give a platform at 7 o'clock for a department that's been knocking Pacifica for a very long time? Why would one do that? I had suggested, however, that from 6 till 7 o'clock would be a good opportunity to try out a pilot program and just see how that worked. And I had said, let's look for a new paradigm. Let's not go back to the old model. Let's look for new people. There are good people in the newsroom. Quite a few of them. There doesn't have to be just one person. Let's try something new and let's see how it works. That wasn't satisfactory. The news department didn't want to do that. So we were left with basically a status quo situation. We're kind of back in the same boat. So I did suggest and have suggested that we move some nationally produced programs from other stations into that 6 to 7 o'clock hour. Programs like Richard Wolff's program and Law and Disorder, maybe Helen Caldicott's program. There are very many well-produced programs out in the world which I know our audience would appreciate and enjoy, even if it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and because we're on the internet, they can hear it any time. So that was the suggestion, and that was the process. And unfortunately, we didn't get as far as we had wanted to, but I think this is the roadblock. This is the logjam that we suffer at KPFA. About me and the job, the manager's job. As you know, I did apply for the manager's job. I don't know whether I'm telling you I applied for the manager's job. And you know, as the board, what happened. Okay, that's your right. So now we're in this situation. I'm still the interim manager. I'm not the interim manager because I love the job. I'm here because I'm trying to do the job that I can on behalf of the person who employed me, who was the Pacifica Executive Director.
And I'm hopeful that the Pacific Executive Director will in due course be able to find a new manager, because it's not my intention to stay at KPFA. I don't think there's much I can do. I've tried to do a few things at KPFA and frankly haven't had a lot of success. Kerry Corr suggested the father figure program. It was a great suggestion, and it is a good program, and I hope that we can continue it. And we had a lot of good suggestions, Kerry and I, back in the day, but every suggestion we put up got knocked on the head, so we kind of gave up on it. As interims, it was too difficult and just impossible to really move forward. Kerry left essentially in disgust April the 13th on a Friday. She'd had it. She was only really coming for a year, but she left quite disillusioned. And I would put myself in the same boat. I think this is a kind of a tragedy. It's a train wreck going on here. I came to KPFA as a former radio producer. I produced dozens and dozens of radio programs and had a reasonable reputation at that. My management skills may not be as good as you want, but I've done my best and will continue to do my best. I think there's a lot of dishonesty in our system. I think there's a lot of people who don't really tell the truth about situations, a lot of covert agendas, and I'm one person who is not going to be pushed around by the covert agendas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew. We will be on time with our agenda if we conclude this discussion by 12:20. Am I right? 12:25. And I'm sure there are people in the room who want to ask questions and make comments about Andrew's report. I'm going to ask board members to do two things, to keep your comments brief and your questions direct. And let's try and get through this and end at 12:25. I will call on board members once, and if there are once every board member has had an opportunity to speak, if there's still time, I will call on board members a second time. I have seen hands. Lewis, Sawyer, Jack, Andrea. Pritchett, and Don Goldmacher, Frank, Sterling. Oh, my God, it goes on and on. Okay, let me start. Go ahead, Lewis. You had your hand up first. I see. Okay, you were pointing to Sasha, and I miss it. Okay, go ahead, Sasha.
Microphone.
Give her a microphone.
Okay, I hope it's on. Yep. Did I ever tell you the story about how I once rode an elephant, just once, in a circus? Anyway, so I'm going to jump right in on top of the elephant. Andrew, thank you very much for your report, and I do appreciate that anyone managing the station would... So I just want to lay that out there to begin with. I guess I have a problem, though, with some of the things that you've said. For one thing, as I understood it, one of the news directors who was a female would be heading up the morning hours, and you said it would be an all-male cast in the morning if the news was changed. And so I think I would like to correct that. And the other is really questioning the numbers, because we're given the numbers by the morning as, you know, block of time. And I have a comment to make on this, but I'm wondering, could you break out the 8 to 9 o'clock hour, for example, and tell us what was raised during that hour? Not an average of all the hours and not an average of the morning, but the actual 8 to 9 o'clock hour in, say, the last fund drive, for example. Could you tell us?
Hello. The average morning drive from 6 to 10 was down a lot by almost one third. The average pledge amount went from $3,900, almost $4,000, to $2,600 an hour. The morning
Morning mix.
Well, I have to find that specific number, which I can. The morning mix raised a total. You asked for a total number?
The average, but if you don't have it that way.
I have the average of the morning mix
for the last drive.
For the last drive was $2,355 per hour, and when the morning show was running at the station, the morning show raised $4,723 in the year 1108 to 1009. So it's
per hour,
average hour, yeah.
The cost,
well, that's...
One moment.
Well, that's true. But that's
so if I may continue my comments.
So if you ask Andrew a question, he talks, that takes... It takes from your... I know. It takes from your 3 minutes. So I would, for other people, I would suggest that if you have questions... You do them at the end of your comments.
Okay. Sorry about that. I needed the information, though, to continue my comment.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I'd say that my understanding is actually that the numbers for the morning mix are quite a bit lower, and perhaps we'll get some breakout on that during our treasurer's report. But it is $2,000 an hour less, and I would also like to point out that what goes on in the morning is very, very important in terms of what happens with the rest of the day. It's drive time, and it's important for a specific reason, and I don't think that's really ever been questioned in radio before. Maybe you are here. I thought some of these ideas, you know, that were floated were really good, that could have happened, and I'm wondering why the news department with experienced hands are asked to do a pilot, whereas people who were thrown into the morning mix were inexperienced in what they were doing, and there was no piloting of that. And, you know, so I won't belabor this because I guess I'm out of time and been given a little bit of time. But I'd like to say that I was really offended by the remark about the lack of truth and the agendas, because I really feel that was sent in one direction. And I'd like to say that as somebody who sat on both sides of the board, I can assure you that not only does that comment go both ways, but I have a bit of a perspective on how it goes both ways from different factions, and that I would like you to understand that there is a faction that I now sit on that is, you know, representing the interest of real listeners, not just wannabe board members, former board members, and, you know, marginal KPFA activists. These are people who are not activists. These are people who are listeners. And if I were you, I would listen to what the listeners had to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Sasha. Let me tell you who I have on the list. I have Jack, Andrea Pritchett, Donald, Frank, Dan Siegel, Matthew Hallinan, and Tracy Rosenberg, okay?
I'm just pointing out the fact that she was trying to get your attention.
Oh, I have to add Lewis. Okay, I have to add Lewis to the list. And Cynthia's got her hand up, okay? So if we're going to do this, everybody better be very...
If I move to the end of the line, is that what that means?
You're next. Go ahead, Lewis.
Okay, my first question is, Andrew, please, thank you for being here. And you do have a hell of a job. I heard you use the word underperforming in connection with Al Jazeera. Do we do any pitching during Al Jazeera's time to be on?
We do pitch at the end of the program.
At the end of the program. I see, okay. Well, I would suggest that they're underperforming. You know, if you compare them to Democracy Now!, Amy comes on and pitches with us. And that makes a big difference. We have no one pitching from Al Jazeera, of course. Maybe that's a little long. The only thing I see underperforming here is management.
Thank you. Next is Jack. Let me just see. Is there anybody whose name I didn't call before? Okay, Jack, go.
Again, thank you, Andrew, for being here. There are a couple of things that you said that defy my sense of logic. So the first thing has to do with attributing the divisions or factionalism within the LSB as having an impact on the programming decisions that you and Carrie were able to make. Now, that's very interesting to me because, from my point of view, discussions or resolutions in the LSB have had no impact on any of the programming decisions that have been made on the station, at least since I have been on the board. That's the first thing. The second thing has to do with the issue of this proposed NewsHour program in the morning. Now, first off, having a local NewsHour program in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning effectively precludes doing interviews with local personalities and community leaders and whatever at 6 o'clock in the morning. 7 o'clock in the morning is a different matter entirely as far as doing local interviews is concerned. So if there is going to be that kind of local news programming, it should be at 7 rather than at 6 for the purpose of making it effective in its job. But beyond that, I don't want to use excessive language, but what I understood you to say is that you did not want to give that 7 o'clock in the morning slot to the newsroom because people in the news department had opposed you politically. My God, the staff is factionalized. Why do you not include the fact that there are multiple factions in the staff and only talk about the opposition to your programming recommendations or processes by people in the newsroom? What kind of balance is that?
Okay. Andrea Pritchett, followed by Don Goldmacher.
Well, I'd like to make a couple comments, then I have a question for you. I also am really grateful that you took the time out to be here, and I know that you had that option. So I'm grateful, and I hear that you're discouraged, and I want to especially express my appreciation that you're slogging on and hanging with it. I do appreciate that very much. I actually am a listener representative, and I actually take great care to survey people that I know who listen and try to encourage people to listen. So I feel that those folks who are expressing that they're the listener representatives, just try to keep an open mind that a lot of us are trying to do the job that we were elected to do. As far as programming goes, I feel like there's a lot of discussion here on our board about individual programming choices. I am not convinced that that's really our job. I think our job is to try to facilitate the community expressing itself and being represented in the programming choices. And I'd like to see us do that, and I'm interested in the conversation that Eileen Alfandari brought up and that you guys had, and I wish that that could have and could somehow include listeners. And I wish that we could formalize a program council or some forum for gathering that input. As far as the news at 6 o'clock in the morning, I think Mr. Bernstein makes a really good Mr. Kurzweil makes a really good point. Sorry, it is an interesting slip. And he makes a good point about local people being on the program. I think it is impractical to think that people are really going to get up that early. So I think that does have to be borne in mind. And also, if we really want people to be heard, I think that has to be borne in mind. But again, I also want to mention that in terms of the newsroom, I cringe and I am embarrassed and I hate hearing people make fun of KPFA's news when what's being broadcast are internal issues and stuff that has to do with KPFA. Meanwhile, There's a police shooting 2 weeks ago, blocks away from KPFA, and I can't get anybody at KPFA to cover it. Because we're talking about pickets and issues and this and that, and that feels wrong to me. Andrew, I'd like to discuss developments yet again. That's my little candle, my little torch. I feel like, you know, my understanding is that there's that the apprenticeship program, you know, still doesn't have a full-time coordinator, that there's grants to be written, that there's work to be done, and I'm still hopeful that we will hire a development director. And although I can respect and appreciate your desire for consultation and to save money in this regard, I feel frustrated that the process of hiring a full-time development director hasn't happened. And as long as we stay in a triage mentality, I feel like we're going to be on the edge.
Thank you. Donald, followed by Franklin.
Can I get any kind of comment from from Andrew on that one?
First of all, on development, very briefly, it would be very interesting. I haven't done this, but hearsay says that there's really been no development, my understanding is, at KPFA since 2004. And I don't know if ever, except for Dick Bunce, who was the development person responsible for the KPFA's $3 million building, which I think was opened in 1993, I think that's been the only example of a successful development program in the entire network. And if people can name others, it'd be great to hear them. But I don't think you should put a great stead on development given the history of development. However, when Kerry left, it opened up the possibility of employing somebody. And initially we thought we'd get like someone to help with programming and help with the management position. But then I said, no, let's take on a 25-hour development person, and I suggested someone who had had some skills, 10 years experience, a person inside the station who was young, a woman, and I asked her if she'd be interested. I did not do an open hire. I'm an interim director, a general manager. I can't actually do an open hire, but there was a lot of pushback from the staff about it, so I said, all right, so now we're not going to hire that person. We've opened a process, and I don't know how long that's going to take. That's where it is. I was hoping we would have had a development director started last week. Now I don't know when that's going to happen, so I'm waiting now for the folks who are concerned about my process to then implement their process, and I do that with all the goodwill I can, but it's unfortunate that we don't have a development director. We could have had one. The person was ready to start, local person, and in my opinion had the skills, and most importantly, knew the terrain at KPFA, because when you come into KPFA as an outsider, you're going to be lucky to keep anyone. You're going to be lucky to keep anyone. And that's the truth. And that's the covert agendas. And that's what we don't talk about very much, you know. And so I hope we do find a development director. I hope that person can be successful. But given the history, I'm not very hopeful.
Andrea, I'm sorry, you had your 3 minutes, and there are several other people on the list. I apologize. Donald, followed by Frank.
Good morning, Mr. Phillips. Appreciate your being here again, but I do not appreciate the way in which you present a report. You're supposed to be the manager. You're supposed to report about management issues. If you want to talk about politics of the station, okay, let's talk about politics of the station. If that's what your agenda is for this morning, apparently it is. So you isolate the problem as being factions within KPFA, local station board, and within KPFA staff. Not a word comes out of your mouth about what is going on at the Pacifica Foundation and how they are draining money out of KPFA, which adds to our economic burden. So I don't hear any mention of that. You said in your erstwhile report that your employer is Arlene Engelhart, or words to that effect. My understanding is you're an employee of KPFA, and you should be responsive to this local station board and to its listeners. And so we'll put that on the table. Now, as to this elephant in the room, that we have factions that are fighting one another. I don't think that's news to anybody in this room. I think what would be news would be how you propose to help these two factions work out reasonable compromises that everybody can live with. And apparently, you seem to have been close to achieving that with realigning the 7 o'clock hour or the 8 o'clock hour. I'm not sure which anymore. What happened? Why didn't you accomplish that when you had those series of meetings? Where did it go? What's preventing you from doing that?
Just starting at the bottom, the 6 o'clock hour was open, 6 till 7, and I just don't agree with you, you know, people who say you can't do a news program at 6 o'clock. How many people listen to Morning Edition? What time do you think they go on, Don? What time do you think the producers at Morning Edition produce their program, which is a highly successful program? So it is possible, absolutely possible, and many people do news at 6 o'clock in the morning. So that's
a red herring.
I didn't
ask you that. I asked you why you haven't
implemented
that.
You asked me why we couldn't do anything about it, and I said we could, that the 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock was and is still on the table. So there you go. Well, the news department doesn't want to do it. I'd love to do it. I'd love to do it, but maybe they will want it. I don't know. But in my last discussion, they did not want to do it. And people here have indicated that it's not feasible either, but I'm ready to do it. Pacifica, look, perhaps you don't understand this, but Pacifica owns KPFA. KPFA and WBAI and the other three stations work under a license from Pacifica, and they work under the 501c3 of Pacifica. Pacifica employs me. Yes, they do. And they employ the staff. They pay them. That's Pacifica.
Okay. Please, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I'm here before the board as an ex officio member of the board, apparently. I'm ex officio. I don't vote. And I'm glad to be here today. But I was employed by the executive director, and that's what happens when there's an interim hire. Well, you're nodding your head, but you're wrong. I was employed by the executive director.
You were hired.
I was all hired by the executive director. Yeah. Okay.
Donald. I know. Please, Don, just let him finish. Thank you. Are you done, Andrew?
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Frank, followed by Dan Siegel.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hello. I only have a couple comments. One was just about the morning stuff everyone's talking about. I would just say, well, it looks like we made some progress, not to give up. You know, maybe we could have a couple more meetings. Maybe it could work out. It seems I was at both the meetings in the morning and the evening. It seemed like good achievement. Everyone who spoke about it said that it seemed like it was some progress. There's a hang up at the end. So my words are don't give up on it, but maybe a couple more meetings, a couple more get-togethers, however it has to work. You know, it's on the way. It's a step away. Maybe we can work it out. And then I just want to again thank you, well, of course, for coming like everyone else has, but for standing up to the Save KPFA website, which sometimes does get hard to deal with. You know, I'm on the mailing list, and sometimes the only thing it reminds me of is like presidential campaign ads or something like that. It just hurts me to still read those, and thanks for continuing to bring that up, because I was hoping that maybe if the morning thing worked out, the new alignment that everyone were talking about, that maybe the Save KPFA website would not be so damning and hurting the station, in my opinion. So thank you for that, and don't give up on the morning alignment. Maybe, you know, we could work. It's close.
Thank you. thank you, Frank. Dan, followed by Matthew.
So, Andrew, let me say I appreciate your being here. I appreciate you're willing to engage with us. I really disagree, though, with your analysis of the situation. There is not a secret agenda. The agenda of Save KPFA is that this LSB, first of all, should be allowed to determine under the bylaws who our station manager will be. It is not your fault that you were imposed on us, but you were. And frankly, I wish you would leave. Not because you're a bad guy or because of your skills, but because you were imposed on us. You are too political. You are too easily swayed. We liked the conversation finally about fixing the morning. Put democracy now back at 6 o'clock. Have 2 hours of local programming that puts our best foot forward. We do not need amateur hour in the best drive time. That's not a secret agenda. That's what some of us have been saying for the last two goddamn years. And it is completely frustrating that we have no traction locally, despite the fact that we can demonstrate and have demonstrated listener support, which we do. People don't like all the emails. Those are thousands of people who support our position. You know, you don't have to like it, but it's a fact. Those are thousands of people who are voting with their checkbooks. So we are frustrated. It is just unacceptable to me that we go through months of a process of nominating three people to be the station manager, and Arlene Engelhardt thumbs her nose at us and says, tough luck. So this network is going down the tubes because people with power are ignoring people with support. And I'm sorry that you're in the middle of this. This is not at all personal, Andrew. But we demand, as the supporters of this station, of the people who pay the bills for this station, that we have leadership that is accountable to us, period.
And it wasn't going down the tubes.
Virginia, pardon me. You had your opportunity. Thank you. Okay, Matthew, followed by Tracy.
Is that it?
Yeah. And I really think I also have also always said I felt sorry for you because you got put into a situation where there was going to be tremendous resentment and conflict. But I think the sad thing about it is you never got the distance on it to be able to understand what that conflict was about and see it from the point of view of the people who you're having conflict with. And as a manager, I think it's anybody who manages other people has to be able to look at things from the point of view of differences within any organization. And I think you have failed miserably in that. Just this thing about you just said, well, I'm the employee of Pacifica. Pacifica owns KPFA. I mean, look at the history. You don't know what we are. This thing, this community you talk about, bring in the community. We are different representatives of different sections of a very diverse, broad, deep, ancient, progressive community. It was this community that gave rise to KPFA, right? That supported it through years and identified with it. Many of us go back all the way, you know? So, to think of Pacifica, where did Pacifica come from? It didn't create KPFA. KPFA created Pacifica. As it developed and as more people supported it and it got its money, it began to spread. It had a good idea and it sort of spread it. The idea that Pacifica owns us, owns this station that was built by our community, is really insulting. And I think you have missed that entirely. You have missed who we are. And we're not against a KPFA, but what we are against is the fact that we are the majority on the board. We, and Pacifica comes in without consulting us and just dismisses us as any influence on KPFA and brings into power a minority group which has different ideas about how the station should be developed. When you look at the morning show, you have to say to yourself, that wasn't just an internal KPFA thing and so on. The listeners felt dissed. They wanted the morning show, and they did not like what replaced it. And so when you see, when you talk about all the money, this, and you know, fact-based analysis, look at it. Look why people dropped off. We're going to have a difficult time rebuilding KPFA. You don't know how many people have dropped off and who tell us. I can't stand the fact that Pacifica came in, got rid of our favorite show, and replaced it with something we don't like, and there's nothing you people can do to change it. There's a lot of people who've been alienated. We have to rebuild this station as a listener-based station, and one that, once again, can win the support of the broad and diverse progressive community in the Bay Area.
Okay, so we have Tracy and Cynthia left on the list. He didn't do that. Okay, she says I did. And if they both take 3 minutes, we'll be just about on time, okay? Tracy.
Is this okay? Yeah, this mic is on. Okay, a couple of things about the morning. Two of the 4 hours are devoted to Democracy Now! KPFA pays approximately a little less than $250,000 for Democracy Now! Every year. That is approximately 50% of the central services funds that go to Pacifica. Admittedly, we're a little bit behind paying the bill, but that said, $250,000 of Democracy Now! Pledges are not, in fact, money that either KPFA or Pacifica can keep. That is why Amy participates in pitching. We don't pay $250,000 for Al Jazeera. DN pledges are down approximately 30% from the early days of the 2000s. The contract, meanwhile, goes up 4% per year. That said, that's a significant part of the financial stress in the morning that needs to be taken into account. At 6 a.m., Al Jazeera has been losing money. Part of that, of course, is no pitching. You're not paying for the program, but you're not receiving any pitching help either. The second part of it is that Al Jazeera has some very serious credibility problems going on around some of their coverage in the Middle East and the interesting machinations of the Qatar government, and I do think KPFA is paying a price for that. As much as I supported getting some alternative news on the air, when government starts meddling in news, it loses its value. When it comes to the morning show, you had approximately in the 7 to 9 time slot, give or take $200,000 to $225,000 in payroll, approximately 3 FTEs plus benefits associated with that hour. When you remove that, you've basically got the same amount of money coming in from 8 to 9 as you did before, which is reflected in the MEMSIS analysis, which, if you do it, shows that overall pledges per hour are up for KPFA in 2012 and 2011 over what they were in 2010 and 2009. Again, I repeat, overall pledges per hour are slightly up when you average it out through the whole day, and the amount of money that you have to work with is the amount of money that you earn 24 hours a day. In terms of interim managers, it never hurts to remember that Pacifica foisted interim managers on KPFA for much of the 2000s, including Jim Bennett for several years and Lem Grigio for several years. There were several times in which that was against the will of what was then the majority of the local station board. Interim managers are selected by the executive director of the foundation. That has been our policy for a very long time. It's also helpful to remember, although I know people like to forget, that in fact the majority faction on the board in 2010 was not the faction that is currently the majority on the board. So in fact, the will of the listeners was different than the will of the listeners is now being projected. We have lots of listeners. They have different wills. Programming should never be done by faction. Programming should be done by evaluation and clear criteria. Thanks.
Thank you.
If people are talking, can they glance at me occasionally? So when I put up the 30-second thing, it has some relevance?
Okay.
No, you didn't. I held up the 30-second sign for about 30 seconds, Tracy. You know,
okay, enough. Okay, fine. Okay, it's done. Cynthia is our last speaker. Give that woman a microphone.
Perhaps I'm not the only one here who gets a headache from these meetings. And I never get headaches for an old lady. I'm pretty healthy. I still do work full-time, however, so I don't know all the inside stuff that goes on. I thank Andrew for coming to these meetings, and I believe all our factions have said that we grind general managers. And I do regret, I don't know what the inside politics were, but I regret that we didn't hire Nicole way back when in 2001. I don't know the story on that. But I think she would have been a very good general manager who had radio experience. I think we ground all the rest of them. I'm glad that Andrew hangs in here in a very difficult environment. I'm hoping to be a volunteer to answer the phone sometimes because I think it's important. I don't purport to speak for all the listeners, but I know I also get a headache reading all those emails that say the same old things all the time. Get rid of Arlene, get rid of Andrew. I mean, it's not very original. I would like to ask why you can't do an open hire on for a development director, because I do want to support the idea that you need some help. Is that a possibility? Is there something in the bylaws that says we can't have a development director, that you can't do it as an IGM, and is there anything we can do to help? And let's see, I just want to say that I just wish we could all work together. I want to believe that everybody around this table is a progressive. But I do want to say that it would be, I know the woman who came to the forum, our Berkeley Fellowship head, said she had to leave. The toxic environment was so great. So I would think this would be true of any of our management, our news department, everybody, to be working in this toxic environment rather than helping. I mean, don't we have enough in common that we can't work together to support the management and the staff, the unpaid and the paid staff? I mean, it's a simple request. So, thank you.
Thank you. Rich has asked for a point of order or something. Rich is just making the comment that the FCC has open hire requirements for radio stations. That means that positions, I think, have to be listed publicly, and I'm not sure what all the details of that are, but we can talk about that in the future. Yeah, and I want to ask Andrew if he has some final comments to
make. I think that's probably true, but we're talking interim. An interim manager can't hire a permanent position under an open hire. So an interim manager, certainly my understanding is an interim manager cannot do a hire to hire a permanent position. Whether we can do an open hire, I'm not sure we can do an open hire either, to be honest. I actually don't know the answer to that question. And I actually don't know the answer to that question. But as an interim manager, I repeat, an interim manager does not have a great deal of power, and you're kind of a little bit of a lame duck. You can't make permanent decisions at the station in terms of hires.
Okay. Is that it? Andrew, did you want to say anything else? Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all very much. We came in really close to our time. I hate to take advantage of the chair, but I'm sort of feeling like maybe this is a moment when we could have a break and then go on with the treasurer's report. Is everybody feeling me ready for a 10-minute break?
Yes.
Okay, 10 minutes.